Welcome to This Grit and Grace Life. You've got questions, we've got answers. From the boardroom to the bedroom, car lines to college, single, married, or single again, we're bringing real answers to help you live and love your grit and grace life.
Welcome to This Grit and Grace Life. I'm Darlene Brock.
Hey, girl. Hey, I'm Julie Bender.
Well, happy Easter, Julie.
Happy Easter.
Hoppy Easter.
Hoppy. I like to say that. It's so cheesy, though.
It's
I don't know.
Pretty great.
Maybe I don't like it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Hoppy Easter.
Well, Easter is amazingly important to us. It's, mm-hmm. you know, as we've said before, it's kind of the pinnacle of our faith. But we also enjoy all the other stuff that goes along with it. So.
Yeah. I mean, let's do some deep dive into the internet and the history of Easter, at least the commercial side, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Julie, did you know the Easter hare, not the bunny rabbit.
Is that like a bonnet? Oh, wait.
No, hare, like in bunny, like in, that's what they have called them at different moments in time.
They used to call it the Easter hare?
Yes.
Never heard that.
Not H-A-I-R.
Well, I know what you're saying, but.
Yeah. The Easter hare was about checking to see if kids were naughty or nice.
Isn't that Santa?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he stole it, the Easter hare. But
so they changed it to Easter bunny and took the checking their behavior
yeah,
and
we
just
don't
left
care
that
what
at
you
Christmas
like.
Time.
Here's some candy. Yeah,
that's awesome. Speaking of Easter candy, the most expensive chocolate Easter bunny cost $49,000. That's just ridiculous. Wow, and it contained 548,000 calories.
Take you a long time to eat that puppy.
Goodness gracious. Well, it's a bunny, not a puppy. Do you like Easter bunny?
I like chocolate no matter what.
Yeah.
Do you eat a bunny? Do you ever eat an Easter
no,
bunny?
No, I like the Easter eggs, like the Cadbury or like the Reese's eggs.
Yeah, like the little
I think
stuff.
I buy them for the baskets, but I don't think they ever really get eaten.
Oh, well, I'll eat them. I'll at least eat their ears off.
That's funny. If I were going to eat it, I would definitely go for the ears.
Do you know how much the average shopper spends on Easter?
I could not begin to imagine in America. No, I think true. I'll be disappointed. Ready? Go.
$169.79.
I mean, is that with current inflation?
It's a recent stat, so yikes. I guess, yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, Americans will consume more than 16 million jelly beans each year. Shocking. That is enough jelly beans to circle the globe, not once, not even twice, but three times, or to fill a plastic egg the size of a 9-story building.
Okay,
I like jelly beans, but that feels like excessive.
Yeah, I don't like jelly beans.
Shocking. Who is doing this research also?
True. Good question. I don't know. I just found it on the internet, which knows everything. Yeah. All right. During medieval times, a very different game was played with eggs.
Okay.
The priest, and this was like in a service apparently, the priest would toss a hard-boiled egg to one of the choir boys. He would continue to toss it to his peers, and whoever was holding the egg when the clock struck 12 was the winner and got to keep it. After all those nasty hands
yeah,
were all
I'm like,
over.
Are hard-boiled eggs like so good that they're like, I got to get this egg?
I don't know.
Ay-yi-yi, that is interesting. Well, Americans buy more than 700 million marshmallow Peeps during the Easter holiday, which makes Peeps the most popular non-chocolate Easter candy. Are you a Peeps person?
No.
No. I like them.
Do you like them?
Yeah. I don't like the granulated sugar on it, though, because that makes them really messy. If they could take that part off, I think I would like them more.
Wouldn't be the same.
I guess.
Yep. I found this one really weird. Pretzels are associated with Easter because the twist resemble arms crossing in prayer. From the 1950s, it was tradition for Germans to eat a pretzel and a hard-boiled egg for dinner on Good Friday.
So it's that hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
That's really important. I guess that's why we color them.
I guess we must.
All
but think
answers.
About it. Twisting your arms
you
in prayer.
Never heard that. I mean, that's pretty. It makes me want to put like chocolate-covered pretzels in the Easter baskets this year.
All right.
I like it.
Have at it.
Well, Easter, like you said, really does mean the world to us because it represents the pinnacle of our faith. So we want to take some time to really unpack what this holiday means, what its significance is, and why its joy should impact us through the entire year.
The things that Jesus experienced when he was taken to his final days by those who hated him to his resurrection, he acted, Julie, in ways that we should emulate every day of the year. He obviously was God on earth, both human and God, but he did things, acted ways that I think are incredible examples to us from the moment they took him off for his crucifixion until he rose again back into heaven.
For sure. I mean, we're celebrating in the holiday of Easter, we're celebrating his life, death, and resurrection. And to think of what Jesus was willing to do in such a horrible way, right? The fact that he was willing to sacrifice himself for people who literally mocked him for what he claimed he was doing. And he lovingly sacrificed himself for people who wanted to destroy him. I want to say without a right, you know, they had no right. They had no real grounds to do what he did. And yet he had love in his heart and on his mind and in his eyes for the people who chose to carry out that sacrifice.
Well, and Julie, he did it because he knew they needed him to. Yeah. We needed him to. It wasn't because we were worthy of it.
Yeah.
Wasn't because we deserved his sacrifice, but he was willing to sacrifice himself for us in our state, our sinful state, and for those who spit on him and mocked him. He did it for them as well.
Right. And if we're saying that this holiday is supposed to be front and center in the way we live our lives every day, I think we as believers are called to be willing to love in that same way. Now, do I want to be sacrificed? Do I want to give my life to show my love for someone else? No, but can I love in sacrificial ways people who may not deserve it? Because that's absolutely what Jesus modeled for me.
Yeah.
I want to say yes.
We want to say yes, but if any of us are honest, we'll go, I would do it for that person mm-hmm. because, you know what, they're kind of nice.
Yeah.
But boy, that one who wronged me, who actually wronged me in big ways, cost me money, cost me position, cost me standing, cost me my reputation, cost me whatever, because that happens. To be able to say, but that person needs something from me. Would I be sacrificially minded enough to provide it? Right now, I'd say probably not.
Yeah.
But if I can learn to be like Christ, I want to get to the place that I say, maybe.
Yeah.
Lord, if you help me, I want to.
Yeah. I definitely think that's something that should be on our minds as we remember his sacrifice and his unending love to do that. You know, in choosing to sacrifice his life, I mean, it wasn't quick. They did not end his life in any slow or kind or respectful way. He suffered on purpose. They made him suffer, and he did it willingly.
What has always amazed me is the worst execution in mankind's history, the most painful, agonizing, is crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
God could have chosen any time to come.
Yeah.
You know, the guillotine would have been quicker. You know, injection would have been quicker. Mm. But he chose when the most agonizing pain was leveled on that person that they were punishing and lasting the longest. And I've always gone, I don't know why you did that.
Yeah.
And you did it willingly. And you suffered something that none of us will ever suffer because you carried all of our sin with you on that cross.
I think if I want to put my, you know, how does Jesus suffering affect me today? If I want to put that hat on, and I do, right?
Yeah.
I do. When I attend that Good Friday service, if your church offers one and if you've been a part of that, I would highly recommend doing that because it's an opportunity to kind of step into remembering the significance of the suffering and to remember that we have that suffering Savior who lives for us now, that wasn't the end. And he definitely has proven his ability to be with us in our suffering because you and I, we've suffered hardships in this life, incredible heartbreak, unexpected difficulty, pain, sorrow. And we have a Savior who is very, very, the Bible says, acquainted with our grief. He understands what suffering is and promises to be with us in our suffering because he's been there and he went there on our behalf and for us. And so to take time during the Easter holiday to really focus in on that suffering is hard. And sometimes I find myself like, ooh, is the service almost over?
True.
We get it. It's bloody.
Yeah.
But it's really meant to point out to us our suffering Savior who was willing to suffer, to set for us an example and to prove that he knows our suffering.
And we don't, like you said, we don't have to do ours alone.
Yeah.
He will be with us, unlike where he was on that cross. He was solely alone, but he will walk with us through it. And here's something you have to remember about suffering. He suffered and died for the benefit of us. Mm-hmm. So we could indeed be joined in a relationship with God through him and ultimately live with him forever. There was a goal in mind.
Yeah.
Well, our suffering, even in the middle of it, we don't necessarily think there's a goal in mind. This is really rough. This is really painful. This is really challenging. But what we find in hindsight is we became stronger, more empathetic, more compassionate, more understanding because of our suffering.
Yeah, we can absolutely see that there's pieces of us that we would never have on this side without the suffering. And that's one of the ways we get to identify with Christ and be changed by him and for him, for sure.
One thing that I really love, Julie, is that he is and was a personal God. He didn't forget those that he walked with when he was on the cross and before his resurrection. On the cross, he looked at John, one of the disciples, and he looked at his mother. And he said, John, this is your mother. Mom, basically, in some kind of Hebrew language, this is your son. And he essentially was saying, take care of my mother when I'm gone.
Yeah.
And he didn't forget her or the others that he loved.
Yeah, as you're talking about how he cared for others kind of in this Holy Week, I immediately think of Peter and how Peter messed up. Can we just call it what it is? He messed up.
Remember, oh, he's such an encouragement to all of us fallible
people. No, I mean,
people.
I mess up every freaking day.
Like, yeah, me too. And I go, Peter, you pulled through. Maybe I can too.
Yeah. And I love how Jesus made a point to come back to Peter. And literally, you got to go read it if you haven't. Peter's account of denying Christ three times and how before his resurrection, after his resurrection, before his ascension, he took time to interact with Peter in such a way to literally almost like cross out his three denials. He makes him reminds him three times and makes him repeat three ways that he's loved. He loves Peter in spite of his mistake.
It's true.
And it's just such a blessing to remember that Jesus cares for us. He willingly suffered and died and cares for us and wants to walk with us in this life.
I think what I love about the Peter story is Jesus, like you said, it was as if he put the past behind and he pointed Peter toward the future. And we all need to remember that. You know, the other one that I really love is Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas, but he was one tough guy. Yeah. If you read different accounts of Thomas, he was pretty on point. But he said, unless I see the holes in his hand and feet, I'm not going to believe he's alive again. Y'all can't convince me. And what did Jesus do? He showed up.
Yeah.
He said, do you want to look?
Yeah.
Here are the holes. Mm. And of course, Thomas responded in, you know, joy and humility and all of that. But Jesus didn't say to him, what are you talking about, Thomas? I could do anything. Did you not remember all my miracles?
Yeah.
He went and showed him what he asked for.
Yeah. Jesus isn't afraid of our questions and our doubts.
Never.
But he welcomes them and he answers them. And he encourages us as believers to embrace the questions and the hurt and the confusion and the questions among our church family, bringing them to Jesus so that Jesus can be the proof. And I think I need that reminder sometimes. I get annoyed with somebody who might be struggling in their faith or who sins in a way that I really think that they shouldn't.
So true.
But instead, I need to recognize that I fall short every single day. And yet when we do this life together and we, you know, commend each other together and we encourage one another and we forgive each other 7 times 77 or whatever the number we have to get to is, we're loving the way Jesus modeled loving his followers.
It's true. And, you know, we need to learn to care for our family and friends the way he did. It's really personal, very personal. Forgiveness, which is the anchor on which we place our entire faith, is forgiveness. Well, he did it while he was on the cross, when he was dying, when he was bleeding, when he was being ridiculed. He spoke to God the Father and said, "Forgive them." And he was speaking specifically about the people who were killing him right then. And he said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't understand what's going on. So God, forgive them. God the Father, forgive them."
It's literally incredible, right?
I mean, I can't
forgive. Incomprehensible, right?
I can't forgive people who cut me off in traffic, okay? But this is the example of examples of examples on what his pure forgiveness looks like.
Yeah, it's not natural to forgive, and yet Jesus modeled it in such an extreme and all-encompassing way. You know, the system of forgiveness from the Old Testament required a blood sacrifice. It required the shedding of blood, the snuffing out of a life, an acceptable life. You know, there were a lot of details on the type of animal that had to be sacrificed. It had to be perfect and it had to die and there had to be blood. And there were so many ceremonies and requirements in the Old Testament. And Jesus came, lived a absolutely perfect life, sinning never once, even though he was 33. And I know I can't go without sinning for more than like 33 minutes, I don't think. And he did his entire life so that he would be that perfect sacrifice and then willingly shed his blood, as we've said, in an incredibly painful way for people who were mocking him. I mean, that is the picture of forgiveness that Easter is meant to remind us of, but absolutely has to be the picture that we live from every single day.
You know, you've probably heard the phrase that he carried all sin on his shoulders, all man's sin from all time. And I've always gone, that's just kind of a nebulous phrase to me, that we all sin. He was sacrificed for it. He forgave us in our sin. But there was one day I got a phone call about someone I knew who had committed something absolutely horrific. And they were reaching out to me to step in and deal with some things. And I hung up from that phone call, and it was like there was an anvil of heartbreak and sin, the sin that I was having to help this person work through. It felt so heavy, Julie. It felt so all-encompassing. I felt as if I was in a dark room holding something that was impossible to hold. And the thought hit me that this is one sin.
Yeah. Wow.
This is one moment in time. And Jesus took every single one of those moments of those, you know, sins that we performed, the little ones and the huge ones.
Yeah.
And he held them that day. And I was overwhelmed. And I thought, I have no idea what that means, God, but all I can do is thank you.
Is this when we close in prayer? I mean, you're preaching over there, Dar. Yes, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of a similar experience, and I needed that reminder today. I think that the other thing about Easter that is so incredibly important and is such a gift to us is how it embodies hope. I mean, Jesus's followers, they watched their Savior, their friend, the one who they understood had come to fix it all, right? We joke, fix it, Jesus. They were in the flesh with him. He was going to fix it. And instead, he was carried away and mocked and beaten and killed in an incredibly gut-wrenching way. And then he was in the tomb. And they thought it was over. But God, right?
But God. You know, in this world, we have Often you'll wake up and watch the news and think there is no hope. There is no hope for, you know, this community, this culture, this country, this world. Mm-hmm. Just go down the road. And on its own, there isn't.
Yeah.
But because of Jesus coming, dying, and being raised again from the dead to then ascend to heaven, we can look past this. Yeah. We can look past the world in which we live. And not just not live in this world, but go, I am going to hold on to hope today because my relationship with Christ is secure because of what he did and that I accepted it. And because of that, I have hope today. I have hope tomorrow. Yeah. I have hope every day of this life and for all of eternity. Even in the most dismal places and times, I have hope.
Yeah, and I think we want to stop and just marvel at the resurrection, right? Because it really is. We talk about Easter being the cornerstone of our faith or being the biggest deal, and it wouldn't be without the resurrection. I mean, a lot of world religions have a leader who was willing to die for their cause or for their God, but they weren't able to resurrect. And that's what makes Jesus different. And that's where our hope comes from, that Jesus paid the ultimate price, but that he didn't stay dead. He rose again. Many, many, many historically accurate accounts of him resurrecting and even appearing to many others and his followers before he ascended to heaven, where he is now, offering us hope, offering us relationship and closeness, and most importantly, access to God, because he went and paid the price that we could not pay without him.
Julie, did you see The Passion of Christ?
I did, and I've been more recently really enjoying watching The Chosen. But yes, I've seen The Passion. It's probably time to watch it again.
I know, and I don't want to, but I want to. It's one of those.
Yeah.
First time I saw it, I was in a theater with my youngest daughter, and we just held each other's hands and sobbed all through the crucifixion. I mean, it was gut-wrenching. Mm-hmm. It was horrific, and it hurt so badly. But that final shot where from the tomb itself, you see him and you see an open, the stone is rolled away and you see the sunlight coming in. That's hope.
Right.
That is the moment in time you go, everything that's past is that it's past. And what lies ahead is nothing but joy, peace, comfort, mercy, grace, all the things that he awards us and gives to us when we have a relationship with him. That is our hope.
Yeah, our hope for this life and for eternity with him that he secured through his actions alone. I know we wanted to talk about Easter being not just a date on the calendar that moves around or not just jelly beans and Easter eggs. I'll take Cadbury eggs. But that it would affect us and be the lens by which we live, be the example for how we as followers of Christ, if we choose to identify as a follower of Christ, then this holiday should mark the way we live on the daily basis. There should be some characteristics about our living that are affected by Easter. So let's run through them just in case somehow they got missed in this episode.
Can we, the followers of Jesus, live sacrificially? Can we love those who don't love or even like us? Mm. And can we meet their needs, those who don't love us or like us, when we see them?
Can we suffer well? Can we own suffering as part of the believer's life and not be surprised by it, but choose to learn from it, learn through it, and go through it with an attitude of purpose and joy?
Can we care for those around us, our family, our friends, you know, the people in our immediate world? And yes, we're supposed to love all, but we're also supposed to take care of those that are in our lives. And that's practical. If you're a mom, taking care of your baby, taking care of your teenager, taking care of your husband if you're married, or if you're a single mom, you got your hands full, or if you have a job, are you caring for the people around you? You know, just we're supposed to care for and take care of those in our lives.
We cannot miss the importance of forgiveness in a follower of Jesus's life. I mean, that's ultimately what he came for, right? To forgive our sin. And so we absolutely are called to model that for the little things all the way to the big things.
And demonstrate the hope. You know, for those of us who follow Christ, we want to be an example of hope, but we're pretty darn fallible. Mm-hmm. We don't always show the joy that we should, but we want to. And I think the keeping your eyes on the Savior who met us at the beginning of our faith, and probably at several low and high points since then, he offers us that hope. And I think that it is upon us to share it with others, because again, this world's not all that great. And if we can offer anyone the hope that we have in our hearts, then it kind of lightens up this world. You know, one thing, Julie, I made the assumption most of who we're talking to are fellow believers. Mm-hmm. You may not be. And or you may be uncertain, or you aren't sure where you are in your faith or what it means to you. You know, Julie and I are pretty transparent in this podcast. And y'all know we're pretty fallible. We're pretty, you know, we don't have it together on any given day. And I hope because of that, you're not disillusioned. But the reality is God did not come for the pretty or the perfect or the you got it all together person.
Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely. He came for us, the fallible, the hurt, the imperfect. Do a good job today, do a bad job tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Humanity, that's who he came for. Yeah. And he loves us at every point that we are. And I would encourage you to reach out to us, reach out to a friend that knows the Lord, go to a church that preaches at this Easter, go to a church that is celebrating Christ's resurrection, and find out a little bit more, or say, you know what, I want to deepen my faith. Yeah. Because the reality is, it's what gets us through this world.
Absolutely. I love that you said reach out to us. I mean, nothing would make us happier than to hear from one of our listeners that you want to talk a little bit more about a personal relationship with Jesus. That is the purpose of Easter. And so we absolutely want to be there for you in that. Or if you're already following Christ and you just want to grow closer to him, be sure to check the show notes on this episode. We'll link to some of our Easter resources. We did a previous episode all about the hope of Easter. I really enjoyed that conversation. You wrote a beautiful article over at Grit and Grace Life about the Easter story as well. So I want to make sure Tess puts that in the show notes. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. You know, we love to talk about all areas of a woman's life, but at the end of the day, this is the thing that matters the most to us. And so we want to wish you a very Merry Easter. We hope that you enjoy celebrating with your family and friends and those that are close to you. And we're celebrating right along with you. Dar, you want to close it up with a verse?
I do. This comes from Romans 6, 8 to 11. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Well, happy Easter, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Grit and Grace Life. Make sure you've subscribed and rated and reviewed the show so more friends can find us. You can also share about this episode on your social media or send it to a friend you think it could help. You can find everything we talked about in this episode on our website, gritandgracelife.com, where you'll also find plenty of other articles from other women answering questions you may have.